This morning, you'll get a chance to close your eyes and hopefully meditate on God's Word, listen, and just relax a little bit. I love it if you could turn to one of your neighbors, just pick a neighbor, and just say to them, "I'm glad you're here." Okay, now pick another neighbor and say, "God is at work in your life." See, I think sometimes we forget those things. We forget that God's at work in our life. I mean, if we ask each other, "Hey, you believe God's at work in your life?" Well, we'll say, "Well, of course He's at work in my life." But do we really believe it sometimes? I've really enjoyed the discussion that we've been having surrounding discipleship the last few weeks. Discipleship is so relational. It's intimate. It's closeness. It's community. It's one of the things that you can only find in the church. You can go find it elsewhere. Don't get me wrong. But there's a level of falseness or fakeness. And I find when God is part of it, that there's something authentic, something that goes on that you can't recreate anywhere else. And the world tries. But my first sort of mentor that I remember in my life, I was just a little kid, and like probably 8 or 9. And this is back in the 80s, and this guy, I don't remember his name. I like to think his name was Darren. But I don't remember his name, and I remember hanging out with him, and we went to his I think it was his parents' house. Like, he still lived at home. He was just an older guy, like maybe a teenager, maybe he was in his 20s. And we went to his parents' house, and we were in the garage, and we were doing some woodworking. We were building a boat. And I just remember, like, he was like the coolest cat I could imagine. And he wanted to spend time with me. He had his pink shirt on, the little collar, little black tie. I think he only wore the black tie at church because it wouldn't make sense, it was in the garage. But it's in my memory like this. And he had one of those things that we have told our kids they're not allowed to have. One of those like little strands of hair that came down. Did you remember that? Some of you remember that? Yeah. Like, it was like he had perfect, beautiful hair. Like, and then he had this little thing that came down and around. And I just always remember being like, "Man, this guy's cool." And he invited me over. And we hung out in his garage. And I remember we made this boat out of like 2x4s. Nothing special, nothing fancy. But I just remember leaving there and just going, "Wow. That was cool." Just filled my tanks. And since then, God has brought other people in my life at different times who have poured into my life. A couple key mentors in my life, I mean, they started speaking into my life when I was like 10, 11, 12. And these men are still involved in my life. Not like every day, but as the Spirit prompts them, they give me a call. They check up on me. They know my struggles. They know what brings me down very quickly. They also know what brings me up. Gary's taken us on quite an amazing journey with these different topics. Captivated and committed. Thriving and thirsting. Bonded and building. Inviting and influencing, discerning and disarming, purposeful and persevering. I hope you've been encouraged. Like I said, I'm glad you're here. And God's at work in your life. We just take a moment to pray. God, I just think of this song we were singing. I've decided to follow Jesus and no turning back. Like a lot of people here, I decided a long time ago to follow you. And I often don't remember or even aware of what it would have been like to not have decided to follow you. Thank you for that protection and that blessing. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. And this morning, God, I just hope that we could just hang out with you, Jesus. Would you just reveal yourself? Amen. So a lot of you know this. I love camp ministry, and it was bizarre because I was never really a camper, and I just got a phone call one day. Hey, Darren, we need some help out at camp. Can you come fill in one of the cabins? And I would have been like 17 years old at that time. And it was a course that really, I'd say, had a positive turning point in my own journey with Christ. And it was one of these spots where I was given these opportunities to really sort of test the gifts that God has given me. The desires that He had given me. It was this safe spot where I was given opportunity to like lead worship or to give counsel to people, to lead someone to Christ. I remember this one night, and I think it was the first summer that I was there at camp, and at the evening campfire, one of the directors sort of was like, "Hey, Darren, tonight, can you share and give the gospel message?" And I was like, yeah, like I was excited. I was like, totally, yeah, I want to do that. But I was freaked out inside, totally freaked out. And I remember like, okay, I had some free time getting my Bible and just thinking, okay, what do I do? What do I say? I don't know what to say. How do I do this? And I just remember praying, God, I don't know what to do. I really need you to show up. And I remember we're sitting around the campfire, and it wasn't like a giant camp or anything. It was like maybe only like 30 people there. We're around this campfire. We're just hanging out, right? Like picnic tables all made in a big circle. And I'm just like shaking inside, right? The heart's going like... And whoever was leading was like, "Hey, Darren's going to take a moment to share." Well, you guys know me. I stood up, right? I can't sit down. And I just remember sharing and presenting the gospel. And I remember having this feeling of like, I don't know how that went. I don't know what happened. That was just so freaky. That was crazy. But the report was good. God showed up. And I remember like the next day just sort of being like, wow, God, that was awesome. That was so exciting. It was like one of the first times that where I sort of felt like, man, maybe God's asking me to do this teaching thing or being up in front, helping people or encouraging people. I don't know. It was just one of those moments. And I just remember feeling like, wow, that was great. I'm going to tell you part two of that story later. A couple weekends ago, I think maybe it was two Saturdays ago, my life has been a little crazy. I don't remember time very well right now. Thank you for those who've been praying for my family. We really appreciate it. I had an opportunity to go to my grandmother's funeral this week, and that was a precious moment. And 46 hours away, 23 in a vehicle, you know, like one of those trips, right? But I was really reminded that it's God who is at work in people's lives. Anyways, I think it was two Saturdays ago, me and a couple leaders, we went to Calgary, a couple of the youth lead or adult volunteers who help out at youth group, we went to Calgary to a youth workers training day. And one of the speakers we sat with and listened to was Chap Clark. And he did part of what I'm doing today, and it really resonated with me. And I just felt like this is what I was supposed to do today. So it's not really a three-point sermon, note-taking sermon, but I hope you hear Jesus in all of this. I'm going to read this morning's passage to you, but what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to shut your eyes and just sort of listen. Just imagine, as I'm reading the scripture, picture, what do you smell? What do you see? What background noises do you think you hear? Let your imagination take you. And if you fall asleep, there's no judging here. So picture this big lake. There's a small village from the times of Jesus on the side of the lake. It's a busy place. There's lots of people. A boat's coming in, and everyone's getting excited. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered all around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please, please come. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed all around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him, in through the crowd, and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Also, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You can open your eyes again. So as you, we did that. What did you see? What was some of the things? What did anything stand out to you? Oh, this is where you get to say stuff. Sorry if you were wondering. No big words, please. What did you see? People. Jesus. Sorry, what? A lake. Someone said woman. Okay. Anything else? Crowds. Okay. Yeah. A village. Was it a busy village or was it normal village? Was there any animals, do you think? No? Just this little village? Okay. Yeah. Thanks for letting me ask. Was it? Oh yeah, go ahead. Oh, Jesus' cloak, his robe. Maybe we'll put that in a different color. Disciples, yeah. Anything else? Pardon, sorry? Yeah, the man's daughter. Yeah, I think that who the father is representing. Yeah. Okay, what was it like? Where were you in this story? Does that make sense? Like when you imagine stuff, you imagine, like, where were you in the story? Where? You were a person in the crowd. Okay. So you were... Where's the crowd? You were down in here. You're one of the people around. Okay? Yeah? That's how I kind of pictured it too. Yeah? Oh, okay. So you're coming in with him, like coming into this crowded scene. Cool. Okay? So you're coming in on the lake. Okay? Yeah? You're kind of above watching. Cool. Did you want to say something too? You're like one of the disciples. Okay, so you guys, you're right in there, right in the midst. I hope no one saw themselves as Jesus in here. One of the followers. Okay. I think it's so cool to do that. Because sometimes it's a story that we read all the time. And I don't know, like, in your story, but when I was doing that, I was thinking of, like, the smells and the sweatiness. I was kind of crowd and, like, oh, people touching me. Oh, why is this happening, you know? I was in the village and, like, the streets kind of get narrow as we're trying to go through the village. And it's just like, oh, you know? Have you ever been in those situations? That's what's going on, yeah. We're in tune, Doug, here. I want to tell you part two of my story. So I was kind of pumped up. I was amped. I was like, wow, like God used me. Like I heard a report that like a few different cabins had kids except Christ that night. And I was just like, woo, that was amazing. Next week, we're going through the week, and it was coming to that same night again, and the director, he sort of, in the morning meeting, hey, Darren, can you share again tonight? Would you mind doing that? And I'm kind of like, I'm your man. I'm glad you asked me. You know? I can kind of remember going to my cabin, and my Bible. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got my notes still. Yeah, I know its story. Yeah, I know what I'm going to do. Yeah, I got it. Some of you are a little ahead of me in this story here. And I remember we're all around the campfire. And instead of this time, I don't remember be sitting down in the circle. I think I was standing off in the background. Kind of like, oh yeah, you guys have no idea what you're in for. You know, I don't know. I think it was kind of like one of those moments. I don't remember like as much prayer as the week before going into that evening's talk. And I remember coming and I was sharing and I was doing it all and everyone's kind of sitting there listening. And I remember walking away and just feeling like, man, I just made a lot of noise. Like, you know, like in 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about without love or whatever, it's like this clanging cymbal kind of thing. That's totally what it felt like. See, one of the things about this story that when Chap was talking to us about it, it's a great picture of the gospel. Here's this woman, this person, who is desperate. She's desperate. And we need to remember some of the context of her life, okay? So in the context of her life, she is considered unclean. Her bleeding would be something that she would have to be kind of secret about. She wouldn't be talking about it. It would be like a modesty thing, you know? Like, it's kind of like, yeah, what's wrong with her? Well, you know. But it's like for 12 years. And she's unclean. And so like rabbis and teachers, they don't want to touch her. They're going to have to stay away from her. And she has invested all that she has into getting this fixed, into getting help. If we just pause on that for a second, that idea. Man, we have friends who are struggling, right? Physically. And it's just not happening for whatever reason. They're not getting better. Or maybe it's like a depression. Or maybe it's a relationship. Or maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you're struggling with one of those things. And just imagine that woman is like, she hears of this teacher, this leader who's going around and man, it's different. People are getting healed. So think of all that emotion. Think of whatever you might be struggling with or that you wish that God would just show up. And just imagine you knew Jesus was going to be walking by, going through this village. So you got there, you planned. You're like, okay, I know Jesus is in this area. Don't know exactly where he is, but I'm going to go camp out over here. And you know, you got word. He's coming through that village today. His boat's coming that way. And so you're standing off on the hillside maybe a bit, and you're looking out into this lake. You see the boat, and you hear people pointing, and you're like, that must be him. That must be Jesus out there. She's unclean. She sees this crowd of people coming in. Oh. Okay. One of the things about a crowd is you can sneak in there, right? No one will notice you in the crowd. Maybe she was already on her way trying to get to Jesus when Jairus came in. Now, Jairus is important. He's a big shot. I think it's kind of cool that he's in the story because he had to like, man, he's risking stuff by coming here to Jesus. But his daughter's sick. And maybe I think of this woman, thinking of myself, I'm there, I'm watching this. Oh, he's going to go with Jairus. He is going with Jairus. Oh, they're leaving right now. Maybe trying to take around a building or something like that. Get in the crowd. Jesus goes by. And it says she came up from behind. She just sort of wiggles in through the crowd. Just close your eyes. Just think of that. She's just wiggling up through the crowd. She's coming in. She's just like, if I could just touch him. Sticks her hand in between a couple of people. She might not even see that she touches him. But the scripture says immediately. That's like, it's done before you can even say immediately. You get that? And she knows, and she pulls back, and she's in this crowd, but she doesn't want to like freak out because she's in this crowd, but she's like, whew, it worked. You know? It worked. But Jesus stops, but she doesn't notice. She's excited, and she's kind of like, I'll just stay here, let the crowd walk by me. And all of a sudden, she hears Jesus says, who touched me? The disciples are like, well, come on. Like, oh, Jesus, come on. Come on, don't be ridiculous, Jesus. Who touched you? Look around. Who touched you? Jesus is like, no, this is different. Jesus is God here. I don't doubt he knows. But he's just looking through the crowd. See, Jesus just didn't want to heal her physically. He had something else in store. He had another plan here. He wanted to give her the full meal deal. We're going to read through this one last time. But before we do that, it says here that she, when she did step forward, she was trembling. Now, I don't know what you were imagining at this point in the story. But I think of like my own kids. When they're so worked up, they're maybe caught in sin or they're hurt or whatever, something's going on. And they're trembling. When they come to me and they're trembling. There's a pause from that moment when they come and to when the story is said. Do you get what I'm saying? And I don't know what Jesus was doing in your imagination at this point. But I picture Jesus getting down and just putting her hands on her. She's trembling. She's crying. She doesn't know if Jesus is going to take this away from her. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know if people are going to freak out. Also, she sees Jairus right behind Jesus over his shoulder. People are saying, come on, we got to go. But Jesus is here with this woman. That's how I picture it. Let's read this again. This time, you're the woman. Okay? So let's close our eyes. Let's imagine you're up on the hillside, waiting for your moment. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, there are people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Right now, you're in the presence of Jesus. If you walk this as the woman, as I was reading it, he's down beside you right now. He's not far away. He's not feeling the pressure of trying to go with Jairus. He's with you. And you have a chance right now to tell him the whole truth. And then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." See, I wish I could say that, you know what, whatever it is that you just told God, that you told Jesus, I wish I could say, you know what, right now, physically, everything's going to be okay. But maybe God has a plan that's different from the plan that you want. See, Jesus is down beside you and he's saying, "I'm listening. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not get discouraged. Because I'm with you." And when you leave from this moment and you stand up, you are son. You are daughter. Of who? Of God. Romans 8:15. The Spirit you have received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you've received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. I'm not sure what you're feeling God doing in your heart is doing in your heart right now. I don't doubt that He's doing something because I know He's doing something in mine. So here's my closing. If you need space or you need to connect with someone before you leave here, do it. Don't put it off. Maybe you just need to pray with someone, or maybe you just need to go over to someone and say, hey, can you pray for me? Or maybe you need to just go over to someone and just say, can you forgive me? Maybe you haven't come to the spot where you've actually placed all your trust in Jesus yet. And you feel like God's awakening that in you. I'll be hanging out. I'll be around. I'd love to pray with you. I know Pastor Gary would love to pray with you. Maybe answer any questions that you might have. Here's the other thing. Just like me in that camp experience where I thought I could come in and I could save someone. Discipleship's a bit like that. We don't just walk in and we say, hey, you are so lucky because I have chosen to mentor you. If someone ever says that to you, run. I mean, yeah, sometimes it works, but probably 9 out of 10 times, just run. See, we can't share the gospel until we have experienced the gospel. So we get up and we walk as like this woman who is now, she's like, I've been healed. I've just been called daughter. How do you think she went and talked to people? She's like, I met Jesus, and you know what? He changed me. He changed me. I don't know how it happened. He changed me. You got to check this out. And maybe that's all we're saying to people. Or maybe when our friends, people we work along with, man, they're just dumping on you. And you just say, I understand. Well, I'm scared too. But we got some of the same problems in our life right now. But I know I'm not alone. I know God's with us and He's going to have a plan. It might not get better, but I know I can trust Him. So today, the worship team, you guys can start coming. So today we go as sons and daughters of God. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for our church. I believe, man, God's here and He's at work. And He's calling you and He's inviting you into what He's doing. Thanks for not falling completely asleep.